At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
I want you to understand God is not treating the Amalekites any different than He treats any other nation. And I will use Israel as the example. God commanded that Israelites, if they get in adultery, what's the punishment? Death. Matter of fact, Israel turned itself from Christ so severely, and Christ predicted this, in 70 AD, the Jews were so wiped out, you couldn't find a place called Israel on a map for 1900 years. So God's not going to, I'm going to do this to Amalekites, but Israel's special. No, no, no. When they turned their back on God, they got it too. And when we do, see, here's what the part bothers us though. Who was it that destroyed the temple? Who was it that put the Israelites out of their land for 1900 years? Romans. Pagan, idol, worshipers. That's the part we don't like. We think God only uses good Christian people. God used Nebuchadnezzar, the Assyrians, and all kinds of groups to bring judgment on Israel when Israel didn't hear what was going on here. All right. Now it says this, though, too, in Jeremiah. I want you to understand. If a nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil. So God says, if I have said to a nation that I'm going to judge it, and it turns, it repents. That means to turn around, to change your mind from its evil. I will relent concerning the calamity I have planned to bring upon it. If a nation repents, what's an example of it? Bible. Nineveh. Destroyed Jonah. And Jonah gets all upset because God didn't zap him? Yeah, because they repented. On a national level, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, So nations, God will allow nations to continue if they repent. So let's go to practical application. How can you do that? How can you apply this to me today? Simple. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 and Romans 15:4 tell us this, that these things were written back then to teach us, to be examples to us. So what do I learn from this? Don't hang with Amalekites? No. Personal application. So it talks about these wicked people. Wickedness means, let me put this in another religious word, unrighteous. So Romans chapter 1, 29 talks about how those in the world will reject God for their own pleasures, but it tells us that puts wickedness and unrighteousness in the same category. And 1 John tells us that unrighteousness, that sin, is lawlessness. Okay, sin is lawlessness. And all unrighteousness is sin. So where does that go? So first of all, let's say we've got this idea, what does the Bible says wicked? What does he mean by that? Well, it means that you're an unrighteous people. How will you become unrighteous? Sin is an act that leads to the state of unrighteousness. You follow me? So sin acting itself out puts you in a state of unrighteousness. that sin that you're doing, whoever we're talking about, you in general, not you, but you in general, the sin, because the law of God reflects his character and nature. When we sin against the character and nature of God himself. I'm not breaking that down. We've covered that before. Therefore, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For the wrath of God, can we say that in church? Can you say the wrath of God in church nowadays? Okay. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Notice it. Now, before it's sin, wickedness, unrighteous. Now, ungodliness and righteous. Why? Because sin and wickedness is going against godliness, who God is, ungodliness and righteous. And men have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. I ain't going to break that down. So the wrath of God is being stirred. Let's use the Amalekites. They're continually for 400 years rejecting what they're seeing God do in the earth and continue to do their idol worship and sacrifice their kids and do all the other things. So that wrath of God is being revealed now by Romans. So it's going to manifest itself. You've offended the very nature of God. Now I'm going to put this hopefully in some slides that'll help you out. This is how most of us think about ourselves, is self-righteous. On this side, on the right here, for those who are listening in, I've got on the screen a set of scales. On the right side's lower than the left, and the right side is my good works. Your right side's bad. Your right side, the good things. And here's our hope. And you do this. You can go on the street. You've seen interviews. If you don't, just ask people, are you going to heaven? What's their number one answer? Because of this. My good outweighs my bad. That's self-righteousness. That's how most people think of it. And so since we think of ourselves that way, we tend to want to think of the Amalekites that way or others. We tend to want to gauge, well, they're good versus the bad, the innocent versus the guilty type stuff. We want to think about it in that way because that's the way we think of ourselves. But I want you to understand Galatians 6, 2:6 addresses this. A man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have who have believed in Jesus Christ, so that we are justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, keeping the rules, doing the good stuff. Since by the works of the law, no flesh can be justified. I'll show you what justification is in a minute. The point is, it's putting down this idea that you can do something to be righteous. You got that? I just thought this was an easiest way to illustrate it, people. So here's the real issue. Unrighteous, by the way, if you think you are not this person, notice I put you and me at the top. So on the other side, on God's side of the scale, what's there? Nothing. There is no unrighteousness in God, no sin in God, no matter what you accuse him of, because he's just. Anyway, so does it matter how much I put on this side? No. I put a penny over there. Oop, there the scales go. The standard for my righteousness is not my good deeds. The standard is God's perfection. Nothing on the scale. I don't care what you put on this side. You lied to mom when you were four. No, mom, I didn't eat that cookie. You knew better. You knew right from wrong. You knew better. That goes on this side. So I was kind by putting one little weight over there because I think most of us would have it. So Romans 3:10 says this, there is no one righteous, not one. Not one human being has nothing on their scale. 1 John 1:10 says this, if you say you have nothing on that side of the scale, if you say you have not sinned, you're a liar. So now you've got something on that side. And the word of truth is not in you. There's not one of us that doesn't have something on that scale. Now, the thing is, I may not know what you have on that scale. Nobody else in this room might know what you have on that scale, but Hebrews 4:13 tells me this. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Uh-oh. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him. Now watch this. To whom we must give an account. I was doing fine till we did that part. If he just looks at me and knows all the hidden things, I'm okay. But wait a minute, now I got to defend myself to the empty scale. Romans 10, starting in verse 10. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Those of you who've been here on Wednesday night in the Corinthians class, what's that word? The judgment seat. Bema, thank you. All right. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord. Did you catch that? Oh, boy, you don't understand. You understand. We sang about the great I am. As surely as a self-existent being is. Now, that's going to pull on your philosophy if you ever took it a little bit. God calls himself the I am. Self-existent. By my own nature, I exist. So by that nature is what he's using here. As surely as I live. Okay. Every knee shall bow to me. Our God reigns. Every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue will confess to God. So that each of us will give account for himself to God. See, the Amorites thought they did not fear God. They thought they can behave how they want, and they didn't have to give an account to God. After all, God's just mythology. Boy, that'll take another one. We'll tear that one apart. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Wait a minute. I thought I had to give an account to God. Didn't that what I just read? This says I'm going to give an account to who? Christ. What's that tell you? Christ is God. Yeah, okay. All right, but I want you to also understand this. That same Jesus who came and died on the cross, he loved you so much that he gave us, he's also going to judge everybody who didn't receive that. If you want to know the theme of the book of the Revelation, Jesus Christ, the just judge. That's the theme of Revelation. Okay. The judgment seat of Christ, each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, again, don't go back to the previous slide. Each one will be judged by what they've done, good or bad. That's where we most want to go. But here's the good and bad. Your good and bad will be judged against God's goodness. How much goodness does that leave me? None. I can't do anything out of a absolutely perfect, altruistic motive. I can love Glenn, but I also know I get something back when I love Glenn, don't I? Right? When I'm kind to my neighbor, I understand kindness come back. It's just to do it without... We can't do that. God can. Everything God does is in complete goodness. I can't do that. So every one of us will stand before God, and he is the standard. If we have anything on this side of the scale, which we do, here's the next part. Now we got scale. For those who can't see it because you're listening by media, I have balanced scales. On one side of the scale is Jesus. The other side of the scale is God being equal. The Jews get upset because they want to stone Jesus because he makes himself, their words, equal with God. Don't ever tell me Jesus never claimed to be God. We'll rip that apart. Colossians 2:9, which you see down there at the bottom of the screen. In him, Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in human form. 2 Peter 2:22, he committed no sin, neither was there any deceit found in his mouth. Oh, I can't say that. In him there is no sin, 1 John 3:5b. Got that? See, the only person that is righteous, that doesn't have something on this side of the scale, is Jesus. He's the only one. So who cares? So what's that got to do with me? So Jesus, whether I'm not, what are you trying to say? 2 Corinthians 5:21. If I don't get an amen this, I'm going to throw my glasses at somebody. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, amen, that we might become the righteousness of God. Let me go back a slide. I get to be that. We call that justification. Christ's righteousness now who's at the top. That's the question mark today. Is that you at the top? Have you put your faith in Christ's righteousness or yours? I am justified before the just God who says all men must be judged by what they do, nations included, justice. I am justified now before God. He has declared this. Everything that was on your side of the scale is gone. Why? Because he puts Christ's righteousness on the scale. That's called imputation. His righteousness is imputed to my account, my log, my record. So when I stand before God and must stand before him on everything I have done, what does God see? The sinlessness of Christ. And so that's why it says, though, the just shall live by faith. That's hard for me. You know what I mean? Because I know what I thought when you called me at 2 a.m. Pastors don't. Anyway. Or you text me on a Sunday. Oh, come on, leave me alone. Don't you know? I'm getting ready for church, and boom, I jump into the flesh just like that. But wait a minute, I'm going to even be more vulnerable. Can I do that? When the babe walks by. Oh, pastors don't notice that, do they? Yeah. It is hard for me to receive that because how I live, how I think, what I say, how I feel. When I snap at my wife or my kids over nothing. That is why it is by faith. His righteousness, I trust in the righteousness of Christ by faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In case you didn't know, I'm not old enough to have seen Christ. Amen. See, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's where you hear this term, born again. A new creature. That's where the term born again. Jesus uses that when he's talking to Nicodemus. The old is gone, the new is come. This is why it says this, that God is slow to anger, Old Testament, and he takes no pleasure in the judgment of the wicked, Old Testament. He even made a way for nations to repent, to be transformed, to change, to not undercome that judgment. He has made a way for you not to come under that judgment. He made a way. This is where you heard me tell the kids in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. And two words, it's translated two ways. King James, he is faithful and just. NAS, other versions, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me go back. Faithful to cleanse us from that so we look like that. Romans 10:8, starting verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. Are you listening? The word is near you right now. The word is near you. In your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching right now. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus as Lord, I got to stop there for a minute. Does it say confess Jesus as Savior? As Lord. Now, we have a hard time with that one. You've heard me talk about it before, because if you go back to the feudal period, they had an understanding what a Lord was. We don't want a Lord. I'll keep moving. And believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. For with the heart a person believes, it is not just mental assent, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. I gotta break it down a little bit. Too many people think confess with the mouth simply means a statement. No. Okay? It means this, actions. If you believe and you act like you believe. In their days, there's a word for faith, is the word pistis, but there's a word for belief and a word for unbelief. That word unbelief you see in Scripture is also translated disobedience. In their culture, you can't believe something and not do. Let me give you an illustration. Back about a century ago, guy's over Niagara Falls. He has stretched himself a tightrope across Niagara Falls. Ooh, the crowd has gathered. Hey, people, do you believe I can walk across this tightrope, across Niagara Falls and not fall down? And some go, yeah, some go, no. So off the fellow goes across the tightrope, slowly, slowly across the tightrope. The mist of the Niagara Falls coming up. He gets to the other side, and he turns around and walks back. He gets to the, how many of you believe I can walk on a tightrope? Man, 100% of the crowd, yeah, woo, woo. How many of you believe I can do it with a push and a wheelbarrow? Well, some, yeah, and some of them, I don't know. That's a whole other story. So here he goes, off across the tightrope, through the mist, with the wheelbarrow on the tightrope. Turns around, walks back with the wheelbarrow on the tightrope. Gets the crowd, do you believe I can cross that tightrope with the wheelbarrow? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you believe I can do it with somebody in it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Volunteers? You could believe all you want until you get in the wheelbarrow. It's just empty words. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were unbalanced scales, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive in Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised up with him and seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show his surpassing riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast about their own self-righteousness. For we are his workmanship. We're created new in him. Say, created in Christ. Now watch this. Now wait a minute. I'm going to go back. Not the result of works. Created in Christ for good works. Did you catch the difference? One, you try to balance the scales by them. No, he said, no, that ain't how it works. The scales get balanced so that you would do, because you can't do them on your own. I'm not saying there are unbelievers, unchristians, that are good people in the sense that we might measure. They do good moral actions, okay? For we are created in Christ for good works. Now listen to this. Which God prepared beforehand. Let me put it this way. In eternity past. So that we may walk in them. He didn't just balance the scale so you can say, whew, I'm in now. Thank God when I stand before him. No, I just, there's the blank slate. I'm finally, no. He says, I balance the scales because I have something I want you to do. That's where the Lord's side comes in. Oh, that's right. I got to do what you say. This is why you did this, for to show and display the greatness of your mercy, to show the riches of your grace. Not my wisdom and being able, I go to church every week. Aren't I a smart person? Faith not accompanied by works is dead faith. It ain't faith at all. Let me put it a way you might be. Talk is cheap. Here today, we see where God is extracting his justice upon the wicked. We also see where he made a way for nations to come out from underneath that judgment. We see where Paul says these things were written that we might learn. We might learn what? We too come under the judgment of God. We too, God has made a way out for us, not our own self-righteousness, which always fails, but the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. I ask you this today. Have you put your hope in the righteousness of Christ? Young person, listen to me. Or have you put your hope in the fact that your parents take you to church? Have you put your hope in your ability to be a good person? Or at least hide it well enough? Or have you put your hope in the very perfection of Jesus Christ? Today I call you to do that. If you haven't done that, if today you've been trying to keep the scales balanced by your actions, I feel sorry for you. I've been there. I've carried that weight. I've bared that burden. I was raised in a preacher's home. I knew what you're supposed to do. And guess what I found out? I can't. And then walking out of a jail. Okay, God. I understand this. It is your righteousness that makes me cleanse before you. Let's stand. God, I thank you for the profound truth of your word, that it always accomplishes that for which you have sent it. Today, God, bury your word in the heart and the mind of the spirits of those listening today. Call them out of that darkness, that heavy place, that burden, where they think they can be righteous in themselves. God, I pray now, do what only you can do. Draw the lost to the praise of your great grace and your unending mercy. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.